episode 331, Jupiter Ascending Movie Review. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we're back, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure I'm quite back. Ben, I think I left my brains in the movie theater.
Ben's feeling a little bit down. We just walked in the door. We went straight to the studio to get this episode going. The first minute of this will be non-spoilers, and then in a few seconds we'll say, okay, here comes the spoilers. So, non-spoilers. I don't sense you're going to recommend this, Ben.
Certainly not if you're sober.
Okay, so what was your final rating?
Well, I was guessing a 1.
Yeah.
And it's tough because I feel like from a set design perspective, it deserves a 1, you know, cumulatively.
Yeah.
Because the visuals are pretty good. I don't think they're quite as incredible as everybody's saying, but they're good.
Yeah.
But from every other perspective, whether it be directing, plot, acting, writing, plot, coherency, themes, you know, 0 isn't low enough. So I'm going to go with 0.5.
Okay.
Half a star.
Now, I'll mostly complain about the movie during this episode, but I will say there's something endearing about it. Like, oh,
really?
Well, just like, it's like, yeah, you hang in there. You give it a good shot. I know. It's trying so hard to be...
It was trying really hard.
Yeah, to be something special. I feel like it wanted to be this generation's Star Wars.
Yes.
Man.
It really feels like it's important.
I guess I would give it a 2.5. I think I'd feel pretty good with a 2. I mean, I know... Yeah, I think 2. I think...
So same level score as The Hobbit.
Yeah, I mean, the acting was good by some people and not good by others.
Really? Who was a good actor in this movie?
Well, I don't know. Maybe
was it the villain who delivered every line of dialogue like this? That's not an exaggeration.
Okay. We'll get to... Maybe we should just go into the spoiler section so we can just talk about it. I'm trying to think of what... Yeah, like you said, the visuals were kind of cool.
What gets us up to a 2 for you?
There was something... I wasn't bored. I'll give it that. I wasn't bored.
No, it's just mind-numbingly stupid.
They did drop some plot threads, so we'll talk about that.
Like, when I pulled out my Kindle and started reading, it wasn't because I was bored, because you're right. It's just I couldn't take it anymore.
Okay.
Like, it was assaulting me. This movie isn't... It's not just stupid. It's aggressively stupid. This movie is aggressive. It assaults your intelligence.
Before we go to the spoilers, we'll give the regular old family warning.
No, yeah. We're not. We're not going to start doing that. People can look online and figure that out.
I like to, though. Let me just say this. There was a scene where there was a girl wearing just her lingerie, and there was a naked female from the back.
Okay.
No,
we're not going to start describing body parts in detail when we do
it. It's okay to give a warning in a non-spoiler section.
People can go figure it out themselves online.
I like giving a warning. So that's it. That's the end of the spoiler or non-spoilers. Here we go.
No, okay, I'll give a content warning. Anybody who enjoys having brain cells should not see this movie because it will kill them. You know, seeing somebody naked from behind is like the least offensive thing this movie does because it's so stupid.
There it is.
That's your content warning.
Okay, here we go. Spoiler time. All right, Ben. I've been looking forward since we drove out of that theater to hear your thoughts. We didn't talk to each other on the phone as we drove in our separate vehicles to my home. So let's hear it.
I mean, cinematic heroes. This is the equivalent of Heroes.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
I mean that the production values are fine and everything else is garbage. Everything in this movie is garbage. The acting is horrific.
Yeah, okay, so I said earlier some people were bad. What I was specifically thinking is Channing Tatum, every time he was on the screen, was bad.
Really bad.
But I didn't feel like I didn't not like Mila Kunis.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't...
She felt like a 10-year-old.
I didn't not like the sister of the three siblings.
Who just disappears randomly.
Yeah, she disappeared. I didn't hate the younger brother.
Uh-huh.
But I do agree with what you're saying about the delivery of the guy, the lines by the guy who kind of whispers, except for when he's mad, then he can yell.
Yeah.
It's like the only time he can raise his voice is when he's really angry.
Even Sean Bean is bad in this movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually didn't think he was that bad. I just think it's such a silly, silly things were happening that felt like they were acting bad. I don't think the acting is bad. I think the plot was bad. For example, Sean Bean being half bee and half human.
And what does he say? He doesn't swear when he gets mad.
He doesn't swear.
What does he say?
Beeswax.
Oh, beeswax.
Yeah. So that was nice.
You know what this felt like? This felt like a 14-year-old adolescent boy hopped up on Mountain Dew and video games, wrote a screenplay, and then somebody in Hollywood just decided to film it with a $200 million budget. But that's the level of coherency you're dealing with.
Should we go through my chronological notes just to kick us off, and then we'll go from there? So I was texting Ben throughout. Best line of the movie by far is, again, back to Sean Bean, Channing Tatum, Mila Kunis. Oh, let's just call her Jupiter because that's the only character's name I remember. Jupiter right. and Channing were with...
Well, no. You know their names because Bean is half B, so what's
Stinger.
His name? His name is Stinger. And Kane Wise, because he's half... is Channing Tatum because he's like, it kind of sounds like canine because he's half wolf.
I thought, what isn't
really dumb?
What's the wolf, the
lycanthrope?
I thought that's why it was Kane, lycan, like
lie. Maybe. I don't know.
Kane Wise. So Kane and Jupiter are with Stinger, and and all of a sudden the bees start dancing around her and they're not stinging her. And as she moves her arms, they move along with her. And then they start saying, oh, your majesty. And then she's like, why are you calling me that? And then the best line of the movie, Stinger says, bees are genetically designed to recognize royalty.
That's where the movie lost me completely. Yeah. So up until that point.
Because you laughed so much.
I did.
I was embarrassed a little bit. I was like, please don't look back here.
Here's what was going on in my mind up until that point. I was not enjoying the movie.
Okay.
But it wasn't like... The train was heading towards the concrete wall,
okay.
But it had not collided yet. There was, you know, every scene would introduce something just out of nowhere. Nothing that anyone was doing seemed to make any sense. The motives of any of the characters didn't make sense. So I had a feeling the train was going to crash at some point. And when Sean Bean gets on his knees and says, "Your Majesty, because the bees don't sting her." And what's the ultimate proof? You've never been stung in your life, have you? So all of you out there who have never been stung by a bee, you might be the king of the universe.
I've never been stung by a bee.
That might be it.
This is amazing.
That's how stupid this movie is.
Well, that's just the beginning. That is very early.
And that's when I'm mixing my metaphors, but where it goes off the it falls off the cliff and it
off the rails,
yeah,
off the tracks.
Well, worse than that. I mean, it from that point on, it's like a game of one-upsmanship. Every scene is trying to outstupid the scene that came before.
So let's talk about the flying shoes for a second, because I feel like that this is the big product that's supposed to be like maybe in Back to the Future they had the hoverboard, or the lightsaber from Star Wars. This is the thing that makes Jupiter Ascending what it is. And all it looked like was he was ice skating or roller skating around.
It looks like Blades of Glory.
The one scene where he's trying to sneak up and he's just like roller skating around in circles. It was like, okay.
Now you started laughing at that point too.
Yeah.
It's really bad. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you know, it's that type of, you'll laugh at the movie, you'll cry at how stupid it is, you'll want to swallow a bullet by the 20-minute point. I mean,
it's so bad. What did you think when you first saw that he had gravity boots? Thoughts? And he can skate around.
Okay. You know, and then he kind of does the ice skating thing once in that initial action scene with the three bounty hunters who, I don't even know, like... I don't even want to talk about them because that's just so stupid.
Which part was stupid? When they were all trying to hide in the cornfield except for one.
That was great.
The one who was flying above in a spaceship.
Yeah, so there's these three bounty hunters and we see two of them creeping through the cornfield and then the camera pans up and there's the girl on her hovercraft. It's like...
No, it's like a spaceship flying above them.
By the way...
And it has a cloaking device. We already saw that I could cloak.
By the way, that girl on the spaceship...
Yeah.
Her hair design is exactly the same as Lana Wachowski's, so I think they wrote themselves into this movie somehow. Which just adds a whole another level of weirdness on it.
Back to the gravity boots. Okay. I did think that his fighting with like fighting style was kind of cool when he do the flips with them. I just didn't like when he was ice skating.
Yeah, but I mean, every single action scene with the gravity boots looked exactly the same.
Yeah,
and it down to Jupiter falling off of something, and then it's like you know they do this about 10 times in the movie. She's falling. Oh, here he comes. Oh, she's falling again. Here he comes. And it's just so dumb.
A lot of the scenes where he was in a spaceship flying to go stop somebody.
Yeah.
Or when he's being chased, they all kind of felt the same.
Exactly.
Lots of destruction, but it's kind of cool because the aliens can fix it when no one will remember.
Yeah, and you pointed out the part where sometimes he's not only in a spaceship, he's on a spaceship. He grabs the wing as it leaves atmosphere.
And then goes through a wormhole. And then they're on the other side. He's like, I'm okay out here. He could just breathe in space.
Yes.
Except for that one time when he needed the suit.
That's right.
Then he couldn't breathe in space.
That's right. The movie's incoherent.
Let's go back to my notes here.
Okay.
All right. So then we did talk about the beeswax line, which was crazy. And then, yeah, this isn't not a big point, but they talked a lot about advanced technology.
Yeah.
And then they go through the whole DMV scene, which was so obviously trying hard to be funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're riffing off Brazil there.
No, I didn't know that.
The Terry Gilliam movie, because that's Terry Gilliam with a cameo at the end of that sequence.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But it comes out of nowhere. And so...
But what?
Go ahead.
It was supposed to be advanced technology, but then it looks really like low tech steampunk style.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So, and this is where the movie, the plot takes a drastically different direction, because up until this point, it's been an action thriller, and we're waiting for war to break out between these three siblings of the royal family. And Jupiter is actually the queen because she has the same genes as mom. And so, you know, you're kind of going in this action-adventure direction. From the point where Jupiter says, yeah, I'll be the queen, on, it turns into a bureaucracy drama where every single plot point revolves around paperwork. She has to, like, go down to the intergalactic DMV and be registered as the queen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Think of what, and then it's like, oh, well, you made it through.
There's probably multiple queens, though, in the universe. They don't make that clear, but I'm guessing
no,
that she's just one royal than one royal family.
Yeah, but think of how powerful this family is, and now it's going to turn into a bureaucracy drama.
A little political thriller. Who's going to get Earth? Who's going to harvest all those humans?
Yeah, and then, you know, then brother wants to marry her, even though she has the identical genes to mom.
That
was creepy.
Was messed up.
That was really messed up.
I mean,
up.
I know that he wants to just kill her, but still, that whole scene.
Well,
and she seemed totally fine with it. Oh, yeah, that's a good plan.
And that's the other thing. Is she's supposed to be our heroine. She's an idiot. She's one of the dumbest characters you'll ever see in a movie.
Okay. Let's go to the siblings for a second. I don't have these in my notes.
Okay.
But yeah, so... Again, sort of like what we talked about with Hobbit and Watership Down, where it almost feels like they're going on these little mini adventures that build to the grand story. That's sort of what was happening with these siblings, because first she's almost kidnapped by one sibling, but then the sister gets her, and then sister seems kind of nice and shows her the pool where they become young, and
yeah,
and everything seems good, and then the a younger brother kidnaps her back, but then, and we never see that sister again.
No,
and she seems sort of important at the beginning.
Yeah.
So then there's a whole scene where the younger brother is going to marry her and then kill her. And then Kane rescues her. And he's like, well, got me. All right. See you guys. And yeah. I never see him again.
No.
It's like, I felt like if they were trying to build this family tension, like if that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think they dropped the ball a little bit by not having everybody come back around at the end.
Not only the family tension, the entire political plot that they seem to want to do. And then they just scrap it. I mean, things just disappear in this movie. It's so
what else?
Clumsy.
What else can you think of?
Well, those are the big ones, obviously. I mean, you know, the spaceship one or the spacesuit one where, all of a sudden we want to have a scene of Kane out in space where he can't breathe. So now all of a sudden his suit has this new power with a spacesuit. Oh, and then later, he has two spacesuits because it has one for
Jupiter. No, I think he had like a little packet, sort of like a parachute pack.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you missed it because I think you might have been reading it at that time.
I was reading at that time. I quit What point did I? I don't remember what point.
I know the exact point. Okay. So, all right, going back to Jupiter being a not smart character. This is not on her. It's just on the writing. For some reason, after
the character's not a real person. So I'm not sure what you mean by distinguishing between her, the character, and the writing.
I think
they're really one and the same.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, so I guess I was trying to give Mila Kunis the benefit of the doubt. I don't feel like all of her acting is on her for being like coming off stupid when the writing is just bad. So
but bad writing contributes to bad acting. I mean, that's my point with Sean Bean. Sean Bean's a great actor.
Yeah.
But you take a great actor. You could take Sir Ian McKellen. You have him yelling beeswax into the camera. It's going to be horrible. There's simply you can't deal with that.
The scene where Ben had enough. Is in now we're on the younger brother's ship, and Jupiter is saying to Cain that she has feelings for him.
Yeah,
and I guess we had found out that Cain had at some point, without even knowing why, he had he attacked an entitled person, which I think means royalty.
Yeah,
he killed him.
He bit him
the throat ripped it out. So then Mila Kunis, as she's trying to come on to Cain and express the fact that she has feelings for him, says, "Does any part of you want to bite me?" Right. ?
That was it.
And then Ben was done.
Yeah.
And that is a horrible line. And that probably is the worst line, actually.
Yeah. I went to James Joyce as a cure for coherency to tell you how bad things were getting. It was just unbelievable what I was watching before me. Every scene just has a moment like that where they just want to suck your intelligence out so hard and just leave you as an empty, hollow shell in the audience, incapable of rational thought because you've been assaulted with their stupidity for 2 hours that seem more like 20, quite frankly.
Now, I texted you in the middle of the movie and said, these two characters who've known each other for about one day,
yeah,
fell in love faster than Thor and his girlfriend in the first Thor movie.
That's a thing to do now, I guess.
That was a weekend, and we thought that was too little. This was
an afternoon.
Because she was asleep for 12 hours after he rescued her, and then they got kidnapped right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long it was, but it was at most 2 days.
What's Kane's motivation in this movie before he falls in love with her?
Okay, he was going to be able to be reinstated in the Legionnaires.
Yeah,
so that he's
working for Younger Brother.
Yep.
Yeah. But why? I mean, what? Like, the motivations of the different characters, they just drop and reappear. And by the way, did you like when he sniffed the paperwork in the doctor's office and that's how he could track her down?
Yeah, that was interesting. And the weirdest part with him, I didn't get that when you join the Legion, you get your wings back. I think they had mentioned that. They mentioned wings, but there's a movie called Legion with angels in it.
Yes.
It's like, did they forget that that's not the same thing?
We never see anybody with wings.
Except for that one scene.
Except for at the very end, where all of a sudden Channing Tatum now has wings.
I feel like the fact that they dropped the part where he attacks royalty,
yes,
that's their plan for the sequel. So,
you know they want a sequel here. I mean, they want this set up as, you know,
like
Matrix 2 and 3.
Where do you think the story would go next? She's got she's using the boots now. He's got wings.
Yes.
She owns Earth.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, there's probably some crazy uncle in the family who... I mean, let's talk about the ending, though, and the moral of this story.
Okay.
Because the movie bookends with scenes of Mila Kunis cleaning toilets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is real Cinderella. Somebody in our listener feedback we'll have at the end talks about how it's sort of a space fairy tale.
Except fairy tales are usually coherent. Yeah. This was not. So the moral of this story, when all is said and done, is that she owns Earth, but instead of like even taking a few dollars to improve her life, she's happy cleaning toilets. Now, that's the moral of the story, is that if you're cleaning toilets, even if it turns out that you actually own Earth and unlimited hordes of wealth, and are part of a corrupt family that probably needs a moral compass and somebody to step in and stop some of the irredeemable behaviors that they're doing with harvesting planets. You don't do any of that. You just go to clean the toilets and you whistle while you work and call it good enough.
So you think she shouldn't have gone back to her regular life?
I think the movie should have ended long before then. I don't want to have an opinion about what these characters should have done because I don't care. I just think it's stupid.
I don't mind that she went back to her old life, but I hope that she does some other things on the side, like helping the universe.
I don't think she is.
I mean, she's dating Kane. That's sort of connected to space.
And she's got the anti-gravity boots.
Let's see. She's going to be a hero. Oh, speaking of her being a hero, she became basically an action hero in the middle of this, jumping far across things, over fire, climbing up a huge tower.
Yes. And the character's become immortal at a win. You know, that you pointed this out in your text. So Channing Tatum is crashing and he's being blown up in fire and nothing damages him.
I mean, he had a little scratch for that one scene.
Yeah, that's like, I don't even want to talk about that.
But Mila Kunis, she was in, she was not a fighter or anything.
No.
She was in tons of battles and crashes and falling all over the place, glasses flying by, fire, nothing. Yeah. Not a scratch, not a bruise. I mean, I'm okay with suspending disbelief, but it's nice when they add a little bit of details like a tiny scratch.
But there's a difference between suspending disbelief. Like, you know, if you're watching James Bond, you know, you expect him to dodge a billion bullets and everything. But this movie, its characters get injured when it's convenient to the plot, and they're completely invulnerable when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rules, there's no logic, and ultimately there's no reason why you should care about anything happening on the screen.
One part I did want you to watch that you missed was one of the good guy pilots.
Is an elephant. I saw him.
A human elephant hybrid.
Yeah.
And he kept on making the elephant sound when he got nervous and
mad. He had a full-on trunk and everything.
I love that part. That's my favorite character.
Yeah. I think Stinger and Kane got kind of gypped there.
You know, Wikipedia is calling Stinger a Han Solo-type character.
Is he now?
I did not get that feeling.
No. Mostly because Han Solo never screamed beeswax into the camera as a profanity.
Other dumb things. Somehow, Jupiter learned all of the codes, every code.
Yes.
28-C in the royalty book. I don't even know when she read it.
Just on the flight?
She got kidnapped again.
That's true.
I don't know when she read it, but she's really good at memorizing
things. But yet she's still stupid enough to almost marry the guy who's kind of sort of her son, even though it's blindingly obvious to everyone that this is a political ploy.
He's kind of like a Loki character.
He's
sort of a trickster. Like, he's bad, but sort of good, but actually really bad.
Let's for the sake of argument, I don't actually believe that we should do this, but for the sake of argument, let's give her character the benefit of the doubt in that moment. She trusts him. Maybe wait more than 2 hours before you marry him.
Like,
you know what? I trust you. Let's give it a month.
Let's get to know each other.
Yeah, son. And then we'll go from there. But no, it's like, we're going to get married in the same afternoon that we met.
One thing that, I mean, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to see this in the first place is because of the Matrix connection. Okay.
I'm done with the Wachowskis.
Everybody knows that. Okay, you're done.
Yeah.
They directly stole their own idea, you could say. In the Matrix, humans are used to power batteries for machines. Spoilers for that. In this movie, humans are harvested and used to help keep royalty alive longer.
Oh, they stole an enormous amount of material. I already mentioned Brazil. You mentioned The Matrix. Dune, with the house classes and everything. Star Wars, obviously, in there. Wherever those dragon guys came from.
Oh, that was the lizard from Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
With wings.
Yeah. Yeah, so they stole all these elements, but somehow, this includes their own, they somehow managed to make every element that they stole a million times more stupid than it was in the original movie. And
what's dumb about a pool of human DNA that makes you young?
That's right.
Back up a little bit.
That's right.
Okay.
And, you know, the thing that you could say, what I think is really important for people to understand, because you say, well, Ben, you just don't like fun movies. This sounds like just good, dumb fun. It's not, because the movie thinks it's really, really, really important. You know, if you're somebody who enjoys Transformers, and I don't think you should, but you enjoy them on the level of dumb fun, that's a terrible choice, first of all, but it's a very different terrible choice than liking this movie, because this movie thinks that it's saying something important. It's like it's convinced every scene that it's the new, you know, they're doing the same thing they did in The Matrix, where it made everybody think and question and consider all these big ideas, but there's nothing there. You know, this movie is like Macbeth's quote that this film is full of sound and fury signifying nothing, and it is literally a tale told by a madman, or madman and madwoman in this case with the Wachowski siblings, because they're insane. They're insane. Stop giving them money. And I'm saying that to studios in Hollywood, and I'm saying that to us, the consumers. They need, they're on like the M. Night Shyamalan in The Happening level of horrible in this movie. They're insane. And they think of what all the good in the world, the millions of dollars being spent on this movie could do. It's absolute garbage.
Doesn't look like our listeners too much expected good things out of this movie, except for we did have one listener who had some good things. I'll try to mix it up here a little bit and read something nice. let's see here. You had asked a question on Facebook. Do you have it open there?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. What was the question you asked?
I said, this afternoon, Ben and Matt, that's you and me, mm-hmm. are going to see Jupiter Ascending. It is 127 minutes long. How many minutes in will it be before Ben asks Matt if they can leave?
And we had lots of funny responses to that, of course.
Indeed, we did.
But we did have somebody who actually saw the movie and liked it. Could you read that? Just so we can mix in some good there, too.
So from J.S. Earls, where he says, it's not stupid or incoherent. It's a space fairy tale. The detailed visuals alone are worth the price of admission. I mean, you can look at screenshots online if you want the visuals. So, he liked it.
Yeah, I think he went on to say in some, elsewhere on Facebook, he thought, visually speaking, it was top-notch. Design, details, the fairy tale aspect. So, I mean, I'm glad that there are people out there that like it. It wasn't my cup of tea. I also had a text message here from my friend Reggie, who saw the movie, wanted to know if I had seen it. And I told him I had, and so he sent me this feedback. I asked him, what did you think? And he said, I wanted to like it, but there were so many reasons to not like it. I think chief among those reasons were the two-dimensional characters, their stories and motivations. I feel in sci-fi, or just good storytelling, that it's necessary to flesh those things out. Second issue I had was Channing Tatum's character. Again, two-dimensional, but also a weird warrior with weird tech and a weird background. As we're talking, I feel like I should give it less than two.
Yeah, I'm not glad people like it. I think I don't want people to like this movie. In fact, you texted me, please, please don't let this succeed.
Oh, yeah. Please, please don't let this movie do well. Just because, yeah, it's not the kind of thing because I could see they were starting to set up a sequel. I texted you that right at the end.
Yeah.
And I don't want there to be a sequel to this.
No. But it's not only just the sequel, it's do you want more movies like this? And if this movie succeeds, that's what you're going to get. I'm reading now J.S. Earl's other comment where he said, I don't think Ben will like it, but I truly hope he does. No.
He did not.
That did not happen.
No, in fact, Ben, his first words as soon as we exited the theater were, I am in awe of how awful that movie was.
That's true. That was etymologically accurate.
You know, another funny scene we didn't talk about. They're about to be killed by all those lizard dragons. And so, of course, Kane's going to go stop them, save the day. And she's like, wait. And she kisses him.
That's right.
Just in case we don't make it. Want to make sure I got that covered.
Yeah.
So it's just things like that that just, you don't stop for that kind of thing as you're being attacked by people.
Especially when the person in question might bite you.
Yeah. Any moment. I kind of thought he might attack her at some point in the movie. And the fact that he didn't makes me think that's coming if they do a sequel.
Travis wants to know if I actually like movies, because he's not so sure. I do. I like a great many movies. I don't like drivel, and that's what this was. Chloe, who I think wins the day with the best comment, says, this is in reference to the picture I put up of you sitting in an empty theater.
But to be fair,
more people did show up.
More people showed up, but yeah, people didn't show up as early as you would have expected for an opening night.
He says, that's the funniest thing I've seen all day. Can't wait for the review. And then here is pure brilliance. He says, the sci-fi Christian, suffering so you don't have to, much like Jesus.
Yes.
You're welcome.
That's exactly it. We should have said that at the beginning before we went into the non-spoiler, or you know, into the spoilers.
We've had our motto as a theology at Warp Speed. I think we might need to change it.
Suffering so you don't have to.
Suffering so you don't
like
have
Jesus.
To.
Much like Jesus.
That's right.
All right, we'll bookmark this.
I don't know if I ever actually asked you during the movie if we should leave. I wanted to. I considered offering to pay for your ticket if we could have gotten up and left halfway through.
You know what? I might have taken you up on that. I usually like to stick it out, but I would have liked
money.
Yeah. I would have liked the money. Here's the thing. I know this is a weird thing to say, but there's movies like Wolverine where I was bored and just dying for it to be over.
Yeah.
That's the Wolverine. This movie, I wasn't dying for it to be over. I didn't want to be successful, like I said, but as a one-shot movie, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Think of what that statement... people say that. What is the worst thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, so well, we talked about bad movies before. So Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, bad movie. Wolverine, bad movie. Yeah. Green Lantern, bad movie. This is bad, but not that bad.
The worst thing you've ever seen, this is a notch above. That's the recommendation. Put that on the poster. You know, they have all the critics' quotes on the poster. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen. Matt Anderson, the sci-fi Christian.
Here's some interesting development things about the movie development. So Warner Brothers first commissioned this in 2009 for the Wachowski brothers to create this new original franchise.
Yeah.
They began development 2 years later, so that's 2011. The story was partly inspired by Lana's favorite book, The Odyssey. I don't think I saw that. Did you see The Odyssey in there?
No, that's so insultingly stupid. I don't actually believe the Wachowskis can read.
Here's what she says. It was making me super emotional. The whole concept of these almost spiritual journeys and you're changed. Another inspiration.
That's what she got from The Odyssey.
Yeah. So the new sentence, not a continuing quote. Another inspiration was The Wizard of Oz, which Lana contrasts to The Odyssey. Here's a quote. Dorothy is pretty much the same at the end as she is at the beginning, whereas Odysseus goes through such an epic shift in his identity. Ben is speechless.
I am. I don't even know what to say to that. I am speechless. That's so stupid.
Principal photography started on April 2nd, 2013. This is the really interesting part. The film was initially set to be released on July 25th, 2014, so last year.
Yeah.
And so I put it on, and the reason we saw this, the whole reason we went to this, is I put it on my things to see or experience before episode 350.
That's right.
And I, you know, with the original release date, there was plenty of time, but now with this, now that I got pushed to, well, here, film was supposed to be July 25th, then it was shift a week early to July 18th, 2014, then they're like, in June of 2014, they said, actually, we have to delay until February 6th, 2015. And that's the date that we're recording here right now.
If this is what it is after seven extra months of work, I shudder to think of what it was 6 months
ago. Well, they said they needed more time to do additional, to do over 2,000 special effects shots for the film.
Nope, they could have just cut those.
And prepare an effective marketing campaign.
I don't think they did that either. The word of mouth on this thing is going to be awful.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think it already was. When they talk about a marketing campaign, the fact that you moved it into the next calendar year.
That's not good.
You shoot yourself in the foot.
That's right. It's the same shame they didn't shoot the script and burn it and bury it and drive a stake through the ashes.
Here's some interesting critical response. Pleasing to the eye, but narratively befuddled. Jupiter Ascending delivers another visual thrilling misfire from the Wachowskis.
Yeah, befuddled is very kind. That's a very kind quote.
That's pretty much all I got, Ben.
I think we
got
to wrap it up. This is unreal. If you go, bring a flask because you're going to need it.
So Jupiter Ascending.
Horrible.
Ben was in awe of how awful it was.
I am. Half a star. And that's generous.
I'll say 1.5 to 2 stars.
and dropping rapidly.
All right. Well, we're taking a week off.
Yeah.
Since we're recording here tonight.
We need it after
that. And then
we're
back in about a week.
That's right.
More Sci-Fi Christian. So that's all from here. I'm Ben Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing out. Hey, but thanks for going with me.
You're welcome, sir.
I would have just been there alone, you know.
You could have texted me, which I guess you did anyway.
I did anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody, you're listening to The Sci-Fi Christian, which you can find at thesci-fichristian.com. You can write us at feedback@thesci-fichristian.com or call us at 612-4121-SFC.
Yeah.
But this podcast is a proud member of the Crossover Nexus, which you can find at crossovernexus.com, a group of podcasts, possibly blogs.
We don't know. Just go figure it out.
Ben argued with me last time that they don't have
bloggers. No blogs.
I think there are.
There's no blogs.
Yeah, you know, that combines faith and pop culture, you know, all the things we're interested in. Go to crossovernexus.com for more information on that. I bet there'll be other people reviewing Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
What do you think their thoughts are going to be on it? Nicer than us, probably.
Probably. They'll try and find something kind to say. It's not kind to find something kind to say when the movie in question is garbage.
You know, I don't think I asked you this during the program, Ben, but I would like to ask you just what was your single favorite thing about it? Just one good thing.
The end?
Come on, for
real. No, I'm serious. I can't think of... There's nothing good in this movie. I mean, I guess the visuals are okay. But other than that, there's nothing in this movie. You're not going to force me to say something positive about
it. All right,
I hate this movie.
If I had to say one thing I would have wished was different, I wish that Elephant Pilot would have been...
That's a very different question. What do I wish was different?
No, I'm changing it. Okay. I wish the Elephant Pilot would have been more developed.
I agree with you there. But you're not tricking me into being positive about this movie.
There were a lot of characters that were underdeveloped, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Like that whole... The ship of good guys? I don't actually know where they came from.
No. And so I'm updating my Facebook status. My personal status, not the Sci-Fi Christian. Jupiter Ascending is utter dreck. One of the worst movies I've ever seen. And that says all you need to know.
Well, let's fade this thing out.
Yep.
All right.
If you go see this movie, you're part of the problem. And I realize I'm indicting myself with that. I was part of the problem tonight.
Thanks for going with me. I do appreciate it.
I contributed to the downfall of Western civilization by paying money to see this movie.
You know, I did realize during the trailers when I was saying, oh, that looks dumb. You're definitely rubbing off on me, first of all. And second of all, I'm just a lot more harsh on movies these days. So I wonder...
Well, good reason.
I wonder what it's going to be like in 2015. Maybe I'll see less.
I hope so.
One that I saw that I think you're not going to see that I was sort of interested in is Terminator.
I thought you were going to say Chappie.
No, Chappie. Oh, my gosh.
That looks so bad.
There was a new trailer for Chappie.
I am Chappie!
There's a new
Chappie
trailer.
Chappie, what book?
The new trailer is better than the last one, but that's not saying much because they're both very bad. This movie looks horrible, but don't worry. I'm not going to make you see this one.
Thank God.
But we should... Definitely read the reviews. Let's have an episode where we just read the reviews that are bad for it.
That's right.
Because this is my, you know, sometimes you have your high, most anticipating, the movie that you want to see the most per year or for every year.
Yeah.
This is the one that I'm least interested in, but most interested in seeing how bad people say it is.
Yeah.
There's no way this is good, right?
No.
Chappie, draw a picture!
And all of a sudden, in the second trailer, Hugh Jackman showed up? Whoa. We let that run the whole time.
Yeah.
All right, well. So long, folks.
Yeah, goodbye.